Actually, they were going to move the table. Mr. Martin decided that move the table over here. And actually, he wanted me in the parking lot. So, I don't know. Anyway, what can I say? I do my best. Well, picking up where Chevy left off, very interesting. This ought to be a very happy occasion for us because we are one of the few of many that are going to be called and chosen in the future. But right now, we are the first fruits of God, the firstborn of God. With this whole world in total chaos, with Satan actually ruling full out and changing everything that we've known for most of our lives with a certain amount of peace and tranquility, that's changing very rapidly. And we're going to be prepared for the return of Christ. And before that happens, there's going to be a lot of really tragic things that's going to happen that's going to shake all our lives and our confidence and everything. So we're going to have to stay very focused on what we believe. We've proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. God has used some symbols throughout the Bible to share with us, to bring us along that. But you realize that with God's Holy Spirit and in before that, God was working with your mind to get you to understand God's word and his way of life. Just an incredible thing. But he uses symbols all the way through. Just the example of the holy day. The whole plan of God evolves around the agriculture system in the Middle East, in Jerusalem. And when you look at how he laid this all out, it's so perfect, so simple, and so beautiful in the way he's done. We ought to take great joy in the fact that we sitting here today understand God's plan of salvation for all of us. And I hope we take time periodically to study God's plan. Because when you think about the fact that he's reached out in this whole vast world with billions of people on the face of the earth, and he's chosen you sitting in here, no matter what age you are, whether you're some of the children or teens in here, you are being called. We'll get to that a little bit later. But you're being given the opportunity to understand what one of my cheerleaders. Anyway, it's great to have support. I'll tell you, it's really good. But God uses the agricultural side. When I first started seeing how God worked, trying to understand some of these things, and then finally realize that what God was saying in terms of harvesting. And suddenly it clicked, and I thought, this is incredible. God's got a spring harvest, and he has a fall harvest. So the spring harvest is what? The spring harvest is the first fruits. The first of the fruits of the harvest. We are that first fruits. And secondly, you have the final harvest at the end gathering, what it's called. And I thought, wow, the winter harvest, that when everybody's never had the opportunity will finally have their opportunity for salvation. And I thought, man, what a generous and beautiful God he is to give us all that opportunity. So let's take a look at this. We're going into the agriculture side. A cycle that he gave ancient Israel, that he it revolved around two various harvests, one in the spring and the other in the autumn. The beginning of the spring grain harvest was marked with a special ceremony, which we're going to cover, and the wave of the first sheaf of grain to be accepted by God. That's very interesting. He was taking Israel through the 40 years in the desert, and he brought them into the promised land. Well, the grain was already grown. They didn't have to plant anything. It was a gift from God. But before they were being fed manna all this time, and they hadn't had any grain, bread, or anything at all, and he gets in the promised land, he says, whoop, wait a minute. Before you have any of this harvested yourself, which I'm giving to you as a gift, somebody else planted it, but you're going to have the benefit of it, we're going to do something. Before you can bake a bread or make bread or anything, we're going to feed you manna, then we're going to cut you off. We're going to have a special offering to God first. Then you can start the harvest, and you can make the bread from there. With that being said, let's go to Exodus 23 and verse 14. He gives his holy day plan starting off here. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, and I'm going to skip down, to the feast of harvest and the first fruits. It's in the spring. It says of your labors which you have sown in the field, spring, and the feast of in the gathering at the end of the year, fall, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. So you got very interesting sequence here. You have the feast of unleavened bread, preceded by Passover, which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life so we have forgiveness of our sin, followed by the feast of unleavened bread, which pictures us coming out of sin, being forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our opportunity for eternal life. And without that sacrifice, we would just live and die, and that would be it. So that's very interesting. The second one is the feast we're going to celebrate tomorrow, kind of the midpoint, right? The half midpoint. You're looking back spring to the spring holy days, and you're looking forward to the fall holy days. So Pentecost becomes the kind of pivotal point. And at that point in time, what do you get? God gave us God's Holy Spirit. So he gave you repentance. He gave the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He gives you repentance. What do you have to do? You have to believe on Jesus Christ. And you have to have God's Holy Spirit. So you have full understanding of God's Word. And without that Spirit, you cannot know the things of God. You can study it. You could have a great deal of certain nuances of it. Some scholars have great knowledge, but they don't have the gift of real spiritual knowledge of what that word means to the individual as they're being called and worked. Exodus 34, verse 22 basically says the same thing, breaks it down. So the word first fruits really suggests that there is going to be, that's the initial harvest that will be followed by another harvest. The first fruits of the wheat harvested, preceded by the wave sheaf offering, which I'm going to talk about first, because that's a lot of people skip over that. They think, oh yeah, the wave sheaf offering, no big deal, you know. Fact is, Pentecost, believe it or not, it's hard to say, but many people don't really give credit to what Pentecost, the in-depth meaning of Pentecost, and what it means totally, and saturate that into you. You know, I sat in a church of God, believe it or not, one of our own at one time, who got up on Pentecost and said, oh, well, this is a holy day. It's kind of a throwaway holy day. And he proceeded to talk about horse racing instead of talking about God's word, plan of God, salvation. So we got to be careful, because we can be caught up in this and take a lot of this for granted. And you think, oh, yeah, I've heard this many times. Well, have you really let it saturate into you, really understand it? But if the first fruits of the wheat harvest are preceded by the wave sheaf offering of the earlier ripening barley harvest. They have a barley harvest, very short period, followed by the spring wheat later on with the heavy, you might say, the ripe, heavy wheat harvest in the fall, later on in the year. So what is this connection here? The understanding is tied with the symbolism of the two harvests and the Feast of Pentecost observed at the conclusion of 50 days that began with the day of the wave sheaf offering. So that's the Sunday after the Sabbath on the Days of Unleavened Bread. And on the Pentecost, two loaves were offered from the first fruits of the wheat harvest, which followed several weeks with the barley harvest. So you got two harvests there. You got the small one, the barley harvest, coming up first. God established his holy days, memorials of the plan of God, and we need to focus in on this and keep that focused in your mind. And God's given you the understanding. I mean, all the billions of people out there, they're going to live and die. They think they're going to heaven or someplace, and someplace maybe not so heavenly. Anyway, and then with us, we understand the complete picture, that we're being called to reign with Jesus Christ and be in the kingdom of God, to live perpetually forever and ever, not to sit around and play the harp. But we've been given a purpose. The first fruits are going to be right there at the beginning, after the tribulation, when Jesus Christ returns And we're going to be very actively involved in God's way at that point in time. So, your holy days, memorials of the plan of God in conjunction with the two annual harvests in Palestine, and illustrates God's plan for harvesting his people. You put it that way. The eternal life in the kingdom of God. God uses the physical harvest seasons as a pattern of type of two spiritual harvests. And when you look at it that way, it starts to make sense to you that how God is using agriculture harvesting to plant, picture his plan for mankind. The first fruits are the first agricultural products to mature and ripen. Throughout the Bible, God uses this analogy over and over again. A special offering of the first ripe grain during the days of unleavened bread, called the wave sheaf offering, marked the beginning of these harvests. And that's an important thing, because you can't pass over this thing very easily. Marked the beginning of these harvests, which continued during the next 50 days and led up to and in the day of Pentecost. This small early harvest, spring harvest, followed the winter rains, was the first fruits of the yearly agricultural cycle. The wave sheaf offering has a very significant understanding, though, because this is special. On the Sunday morning following the weekly Sabbath, during the days of unleavened bread, a small handful of newly cut stems and heads of barley was brought to the priest to be accepted by God. That was the wave sheaf offering, which pictured Jesus Christ as being the first of the first fruits, the first of the first of the firstborn. So when you think all these civilizations that are taking place here, you got Passover, you got unleavened bread, then during that 7-day period of unleavened bread, you have the wave sheaf offering. So Jesus Christ is that first harvest, that first cutting that comes of the first fruits. So it's interesting to see this, and then you'll see the symbolism as it continues on. This is an important event that took place during the days of unleavened bread. The Feast of Pentecost is like a bridge, as I mentioned, between the spring and the fall holy days. So we go back to Leviticus 23:9, and we'll pick up what the wave sheaf offering looked like. In Leviticus 23:9, he said, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you come into the land which I give you, and reap the harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, and to be accepted on your behalf, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Now this sheaf, many people misunderstand that. This is from the biblical dictionary. The sheaf is one of the large bundle in which cereal grains are bound after reaping, so they are conveniently for threshing out the grain. The word omer is sometimes translated as sheaf, especially an amount of grain large enough to require bundling. So what they did at that evening, which I'll mention here in a minute, they cut that grain and they had it stacked in bundles. And one of these bundles is called a sheaf. And they would lift that sheaf up and offer that as an offering to God before they finished on making it into grain and baking the flour. He said, "And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." So the ancient Israelites were not allowed to harvest any of their early grain crops until the day of the wave sheaf offering. The wave sheaf was to be cut after the Sabbath that falls between the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now this year, the Sabbath was on the Sabbath, the Saturday, and then the next morning, because of the way the calendar fell, the Sunday morning was the wave sheaf offering. That's the way it fell this year. And then they counted 50 from that day for the Feast of Pentecost. So it was on the Saturday evening after sunset and before dark, just like when a Passover lamb was killed. The Hebrew word there is ben arvin, and it means between the two evenings. And we cover that during the days of unleavened bread, the difference there between sunset and dark. And a lot of people, I think, I won't go back over that because we cover that an early sermon. But it does designate the end of one day and the beginning of the next day. So Saturday night, after sunset and before dark, they cut that sheaf and then they held it until the next morning, Sunday morning. And then they offered it to God as an offering, blessed it, asked them to be blessed, to be accepted by God so they can continue on with the harvesting. So the Israelites held a solemn ceremony at which the first sheaf of the year's grain was cut out of the field, given to the priest, was to be kept until the next morning, Sunday morning, after the Sabbath, that fell within the days of unleavened bread. Number two, it contained a sheaf, was not threshed out, still sheath, was to be brought to the priest. Three, was to solemnly wave before God on the Sunday morning, was to be accepted for them for the following morning, Sunday morning. Only then could they begin their harvest. Now the symbolism and pictured was the resurrected Jesus Christ ascending to heaven to be accepted by God, the Father, as the first human being born of God. So you see how beautiful this is, what rose out? That you have Jesus Christ being sacrificed for our sins. He's resurrected to life. He is raised up, ascends to heaven to his Father to be accepted by him as the first human being transformed into a spirit being as the first of the first fruits, firstborn of many. And we'll talk about that. So he was the firstborn of many brethren. Romans 8:28 calls that. He says the firstborn of many brethren, talking about Jesus Christ. So pictured is Jesus Christ as the first of the first fruits of the first harvest. So this is the early spring harvest we're talking about. Those that are called in this age, that God has chosen and called, which represented by this group right here, is of the first fruits or the firstborn of God, preceding by Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn. And then we've come along as the second, and it will be resurrected with to be presented to God the Father eventually as well. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. He said, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits or firstborn of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, and by man also the resurrection of the dead, whereas in Adam all die, even so Christ, the second Adam, all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Okay, he's the first of the first fruits. He's the firstborn. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. That's very important to think about how this all blends together, how God has planned this all out. So many people in this world have so many ideas, it's unreal. I had two partners at one time that were of the certain religion that they had to get the word out to everybody. They had to at least hear God's word or they didn't have a chance for salvation. So all the people who never heard the name of Jesus Christ or knew anything about it were just living, dying, and that was it. Never had an opportunity. Now, that's not the God that I know. He wants to give everybody the opportunity. He says later on, he said, I would that none would lose out. So God's a generous, loving God that we have to keep in mind all the time. Jesus Christ is our high priest, presented himself the first of the first fruits to his Father on the Sunday morning after his resurrection at the previous evening. So he then was like the wave sheaf offering being held up until the next morning when he himself presented himself to God the Father to be accepted as the first fruits or the firstborn of human beings being converted to spirit beings. So John 20 and verse 17. Just one scripture here. Jesus said to her, and just going back to when he was resurrected, he came out of the tomb and Mary was there and saw him. And she was, you know, frightened and whatever he said. Don't be frightened, Mary. It's me, the teacher, Jesus Christ. Well, she wanted to reach out and grab him and hug him, which would be natural. And so instead, he said, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Pretty powerful words there. So this point in time, when he came out of the tomb and Mary Magdalene saw him, she was wanting to embrace him. But he said, don't touch me yet. And we'll talk about that. But she met Jesus Christ outside the tomb, said, touch me not. Then later on, the very same day, on the Sunday morning, when several of the others had been told that he was out of the tomb, they came, waved to see him, and she told them that, hey, I've seen Jesus. And so they were going to see this. And so in Matthew 28, verse 9, this is shortly after, still in the morning hours, and they say, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. At that point in time, God, or Jesus Christ, allowed the disciples to hug him and embrace him and welcome him back. They were excited to see him. And at that point, they could touch him. So he had already been to the Father and had been accepted by God, came back down to teach his disciples before he was sent up to heaven for a long period of time after that. Because Christ was a holy sacrifice and became the first human being to be resurrected spiritually, he fulfilled the symbolism of the type of wave sheaf offering. So it was the morning after he was resurrected, he had to go before God the Father to be accepted by God the Father as the first of the first fruits. Now, interestingly enough, if you weigh this up, there's going to be a period of time when we're resurrected. All gathered together, we will be resurrected to the sea of glass. At that point in time, we will be the bride of Christ, will be offered as a presented to God the Father by Jesus Christ to be accepted by him as the rest of the first fruits of that first resurrection. Now you think about that as a real powerful symbolism that goes from Jesus Christ being accepted by God the Father to all the rest of us being presented by Jesus Christ personally to his Father, God the Father, at that point in time when we're resurrected spirit beings. That's a pretty exciting situation if you think through this thing, and that's what we're aiming for, to be the first fruits of God. We're being called now, given that opportunity to repent, change, overcome. All the stuff that's going on in the world, yeah, it's depressing sometimes. You get mad, you get angry, sometimes there are joyful things, but in the end run, what we're all here working towards is to be in the kingdom of God. To be there with Jesus Christ and God the Father, to live forever and to help them whatever they have planned in the future. We know the millennial period will be rebuilding because this earth is going to be a shambles at that point in time. And the remnant of the people that will be coming out of the tribulation, what Chevy said, boy, they will have experienced every single emotion you can imagine. And we're going to have to handle that. We're going to be part of that. We're going to be trained by Jesus Christ and God the Father how to handle that situation. So what we're learning now is probably just a fraction of what God is going to teach us and what we're going to be able to absorb in the future. That's pretty exciting when you think about the opportunity that we've got. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The term first fruits is applied to specific living Christians and God's plan. If you go to Romans 16 and verse 5, we see Paul here addressing this first fruit situation. He said, likewise, quote here, this is Paul speaking, likewise, greet the church that is in their house, salute my well-beloved, and I'll slot this, but listen, we can call her Ellis, Ephesus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. So he recognized there was an individual here that he was teaching, but there was a person there he recognized as part of the first fruits of God. They had come to that position that he recognized them specifically. after Christ was accepted as the wave sheep offering, the general harvest of the first fruits could begin. Not until that happened. Just because he died and was resurrected, that gave us the opportunity. But once he had been accepted by God the Father, then the harvest could start. The first fruits of God, which we are part of, couldn't start until Jesus Christ was presented to his Father and accepted. And then the rest of the harvest could take place. That's the early spring harvest. But still, right now, it's only a small harvest of people during this age to be reaped at the second coming of Jesus Christ. God is not trying to save the world, as some believe. And there's a lot out there thinking that's what their job is. Pentecost, the first fruits, pictures to us the first part of the spiritual harvest, the calling out of God's true church and few people and a small harvest. God is not dealing with the vast majority at this point in time. That's another part of the beautiful plan. Because someone you love right now may not, none in my family were into God's church. They never saw, never understood the truth. Had an opportunity at one time, didn't take it. Well, I'm looking forward to some time in the future when they will have their opportunity. They will have that opportunity to be able to understand what we understand here and we're being taught today. That they'll have their opportunity in that fall harvest, the ingathering, at the end of the period of time, the millennial period, then when every man and woman's ever lived will have that opportunity that we have right now to understand the truth of God and be resurrected and be part of God's family going on into the future. But we recognize the fact that we are a special harvest. And nobody else is going to have the same opportunity that we are going to have. So that's a caveat here that we've got. Now, it's nothing to go bragging around the streets about because God's doing that. We're not doing that. It's like Chevy said, sometimes you shake your head and say, why me, oh Lord? Because I certainly didn't deserve it. I didn't look for it, didn't ask for it, but I got it. And God gave it to me. I hope I take advantage of it. And it's hard work to keep on that track. And I ask myself the question every day, how am I doing? Have I done this? Have I done that? Am I doing what I should be doing? I find myself falling far short of what God probably is requiring of me. Am I studying like I should? Am I reading God's word? Am I obeying his voice all the time? That's a full-time job. If I did nothing else, that would consume all my time if I really concentrated. If I loved my brother the way I should, if I had the Spirit of God, that I had that complete understanding and obeyed God constantly, and I looked out for their well-being and considered their situation over mine, that's what Jesus Christ did. Pentecost, the first fruit, pictures to us the first part of the spiritual harvest, the calling out of God's true church right now. A few people, a small harvest. And then Colossians 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head, meaning Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Be first. Revelation 14, verse 4. Revelation 14, verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. All these have very significant, powerful meanings when we think through these things. The New Testament Church of God was founded on the day of Pentecost, as we know. And in Acts 2, verse 1, some powerful statements where he said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each other of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The disciples were in one place with one accord, with one mind on the Feast of Pentecost. That was the start of the new covenant calling of God. Now, there was people called in the old covenant, but not that many when you think about it. But the larger part of the spring harvest took place after the Church of God was formed at Pentecost with the apostles and Jesus Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter in the sermon makes some pretty strong statements here. Acts 2 and verse 38. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So you were given God's Holy Spirit at that point in time. That's when it started. Well, there were some during the New Testament had it as well. "For the promise is to you and to your children." So all you young people in here realize that it says here very specifically, Peter in his first sermon is saying here, "For the promise is to you, the parent, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So that's a blessing that the children have, and because of their parents, they have the opportunity. It doesn't mean that God's not working, because I've known a lot of children, a lot of young people that were called by God and their parents weren't. But God's working with you individually. So it's an individual thing. It's not a mass calling, but God works and everybody has to make their own individual decision. It doesn't matter whether you grew up in the church or didn't grow up in the church. You still have to make your own individual decision as to whether you're going to press on to be part of the God family. And then to maintain that position, you still have to press onward to understand it and keep that relationship. Let's go to from the pivotal point, from this, you know, this first Pentecost, it was a pivotal point with God's plan. God's Spirit had been made available to all who truly repent and are properly baptized. God's Spirit within us identifies us and sanctifies us and sets us apart as part of His called out ones. That's key. Let's go to Romans 8, and I'm going to have three verses there. I'm going to read verse 8, chapter 8, Romans 8, and then verse 9, 11, and 14. It says, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." And then finally in verse 14, "And then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." These are promises of God, brethren. That's something we can't take lightly. So Pentecost is not a throwaway holy day. Not by a long shot. All this is leading up to the plan of God, the spring harvest, what it presents to us. Romans 8, verse 28. Just a little further down the page there. He says, "And we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, and to be that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called; whom He called, these He also justified; and whom He justified, these He also glorified." Pentecost, like all the other holy days, is not just a New Testament observance. God commanded it in the Old Testament, as we see. It was called the different names, Feast of Harvest, Days of the Day of First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. And I could go through that, but I'm going to skip all that because of time. But Numbers 28:26, it says also the Day of the First Fruits, talking about Pentecost. Dropping down to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9, he said, "You shall count 7 weeks." That's 49, the end of 7 weeks. 1 day more, and you got 50. He said, "Yourself, begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain, starting the harvest. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give to the Lord your God, blessing you." And Solomon talks about Solomon in 2 Chronicles, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 12. 2 Chronicles, chapter 8, verse 12, says, "Then Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the vestibule, according to the daily rate offering, according to the commandment of Moses, for the Sabbaths and the new moons, and the three appointed yearly feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles." These yearly harvest seasons in ancient Israel symbolize God's spiritual harvest of God's children. The two main annual harvests in Israel were the spring grain and harvest and the fall harvest. But brethren, we're very blessed to know that these harvests that we're talking about, we are the first of the first fruits. Jesus Christ was our elder brother. He led the way. He was accepted by God the Father. We will follow at the resurrection when we all meet together, and he'll accept us and present us to God the Father and be accepted by him. So he is creating a small gathering of harvest right now. So the holy days pictures year by year the only things that God is calling, all those that God is calling and choosing during the age, and merely the first fruits of a great spiritual harvest to be reaped later. So we're blessed to be the first of the first fruits of God's harvest into the kingdom of God. Eventually, all mankind will have that opportunity. What we have now. So, as old Paul Harvey said, if you want to hear the rest of the story, you have to come to Dallas tomorrow.